Welcome to the Thank You Rob podcast, episode number 51, officially sponsored by
Brims and Tons Clothing.
Get the latest and greatest in hats, shirts, and shoe accessories only at brimsandtongues.com. You can check out past episodes of this show at thankyourob.com, where you can also check out my graphic design work, which is mind-blowing and life-altering, known as I Define Design. You can also check out my other podcast called Some People's Kids Podcast. While you're at it, check out this podcast on Fuzz Talk Radio at fuzztalkradio.com. Here we are. Thank You Rob Podcast, episode number 51. I'm here with Chuck Chase. You remember this guy?
Okay, all right, Chuck. Chuck is back in the house.
I don't remember asking Denzel Washington to be here.
I'm just a little excited, Rob. It's been a while.
I know. This is a pretty special episode because we're not only back, some people's kids back.
Yeah.
You know, we are actually mobile. We're driving in a car. And what kind of car is this? Is this a DeLorean?
Rob, it's one of the five DeLoreans that were the first to be off the track of when they made DeLoreans. And it came with a standard flux capacitor and a Mr. Garbage.
Standard. Seriously, what is this car?
I'm not going to say. You know, there's listeners, crazy fuckers, women that
it's
I...
some sort of Dodge. It's
owe
blue,
money to, probably. I got cobalt, hose and shit, you know what I'm saying?
Cobalt, blue.
Yeah.
Dodge but, something or other?
Yeah, probably. Dodge Maybach.
That's
what that is. I'm the first one to have this shit. So.
Chuck Chase, a.k.a. Rick Ross, the boss.
Push it to the limit.
No, for real, we're driving because, and the reason why we're doing the podcast in the car is because is because we're on our way to go see a movie, Anchorman 2.
Yes, it's a exclusive press screening
exclusive
that Rob and I have been invited to, and you should be jealous because you ain't on that type of shit that we're on.
Yes.
So we're going to be seeing this shit way early, going to work tomorrow, talking like, hey, here's a Ron Burgundy joke, and you're like, oh, how do you know that? And you're like, because I've seen it already.
And the movie actually doesn't come out till next week. So
there it is.
It is pretty exclusive.
Yes, it is.
But we're not here to rub it in the faces of the
listeners. Fucking am. I know you are.
I know you are.
People get upset with you. You're like, why does he always get to see this shit? Why does he get to do that? And when they start talking like that, you're like, yeah, this is all I have in my life is this.
Yes.
Movies ahead of you. That's all.
Oh, the life of a movie reviewer.
Uh-huh. We have not much else.
I should take a minute, though, to recap last week's episode. Do you
please
mind if I do that?
Hey, you know, I'm interested.
Yeah, because you know what? Last week it was episode number 50.
Oh!
Yeah, it was a
really
milestone. Yeah. So episode 50, actually, Capacity, the MC Capacity, good friend of mine.
Good dude.
He interviewed me.
That was a
fucking boring episode. And you would know, Chuck is very jealous of my podcast. No, it was a good time. It was actually kind of cool to talk about myself for once, you know?
So, I'm
because
serious,
the show,
though.
To be honest, the show is not about me.
Right.
It's about interviewing and kind of giving the light. You know, I dabble and stuff. Sure, I'll say, you know, the show is, my name is in the title, you know? I make the show, I edit the show, I record the show.
Absolutely.
I created the show, I designed my own website.
Fucking, you're a man of so many traits.
And as much as I say, me, it's all about you.
Right. And you know what? I think, now I'm going to get serious with you. To have a person dedicating and donating his time, his effort, you know, his computer knowledge towards getting the other person's name out there in the local scene and mm-hmm. beyond, I think that's really admirable, considering, you know,
no one says, hey,
come interview me because, you know, you have to. Or, you know, the thing is, it's very humbling, too, to say, wow, you know, here's some guy. He just wants to interview me. He likes what I do. And, you know, it's beneficial to everybody. Right. I mean, there's no such thing as bad press. Unless,
this is true.
Yeah, but you know,
Kanye West knows how that goes.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a whole other podcast
it
in itself.
That's a whole
But I'm
whole
saying, you know, it really
podcast.
Is. It's admirable what you do, man. And people that you do interview, you know, I'm not saying that this should be fucking forever grateful. But, you know, I can guarantee you there's not a lot of other people doing that. So I want to say, you know, hats off to you, man. Thank you.
Right. Hey, you're welcome.
All right.
You're welcome. I do have to kind of go backtrack a little bit. On the episode, Capacity asked me, what does it take for someone to get on the show, you know? And I basically said, if you don't suck. And I think that was kind of harsh. As funny as it is, right? It's kind of harsh, you know?
Was Chuck on that show? Because that sounds like a fucking Chuck answer.
No, okay. And to answer that question honestly, after thinking about that, I would say... There's a lot of artists in the Twin Cities scene,
uh-huh.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And I do have a very large list of people that I want to interview, and there's a lot of people on that list, and a lot of people that I haven't gotten to. And then people come up in the mix, you know what I mean? Like, I just interviewed Big Wiz of Tony Bones and Big Wiz, and I want to interview Tony Bones. And,
right.
And then he's going to say, hey, you got to interview Aquafresh. He's part of the Longo family. And
right.
And all the other people.
And on and on.
Yeah,
and so
you know what I mean? So sometimes it kind of works like that.
Right.
So,
but you know, dude, you can't. You don't want to water down what you have going either. It's like, it's not so much an exclusivity type thing, but you know, there should be a reason why you're interviewing said person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It shouldn't just be like, oh, what you laid some tracks? Hey, let me throw you on my podcast.
Right.
You got to have a reason why. I mean, and then any asshole can do it. You know. So I mean, you know, it's your podcast. You're gonna do what you want to do. But I just want to say, there's a good reason why there's a Thank You Rob podcast and some people's kids podcast because you are soft.
I am soft.
Like. I like that when you said, just don't suck. Like, I'd have just left it at that.
Yeah.
And if your ass is never on the podcast...
Well, you know what? It kind of... To be honest with you, I have to tiptoe around shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I don't want my show to become some beef war. It's like, I heard that guy was on your podcast and he was talking shit about me. And that's not what my podcast
is about.
Which
is sad because that's essentially what real radio is.
Yeah, you know,
fucking
right?
Shock Jocks, New York, I-97, all that shit. They thrive on that.
You ain't got the answers, Chuck. You ain't got the answers. Like that?
Exactly like that. Exactly.
That was my best Kanye.
I was
just explaining that situation to my wife last night.
About
Kanye and Sway. You ain't got the answers, Sway.
My girl deserve a star on the Walk of Fame, yo. What has she done? That don't even matter.
Have you seen her ass?
Yeah, that shit needs to start by itself. I'm going to let y'all finish, but right now, I need to talk about my album.
Well, I think you're doing a pretty good job driving while we're recording a podcast.
Yeah, thank you, man. I actually like this.
After I came up with this idea of recording this while we're driving to the theater, I thought maybe in the future this could be a thing. Like part of the... But Jerry Seinfeld has a video podcast.
A video podcast?
A video cast. I don't know. There's a name for it.
Okay.
And it's called... Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee.
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yeah, and I've watched a few episodes. There's actually one where he interviewed Michael Richards, right? That's his name? Michael Richards?
Yeah.
And he knew he was going to ask him about the incident, right?
Right. What incident?
That poor guy, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. You feel sorry for him, and it's like, you know, when your true colors come out,
yeah,
it's like,
man,
Jesus.
Yeah, and I mean, as a comedian, you can't handle a heckler, dude.
Right.
And it's not like you're some newbie. You're
no.
You're an established comedian.
Yeah.
One of the greatest shows, in others' opinion, not mine, to ever grace the TV screen, and that's where you ended your legacy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of washed-up comedians coming to town.
Uh-oh.
J.J. Walker was here not long ago.
Dynamite?
Yeah.
He's alive?
Dynamite! Jimmy Walker, not Jimmy, J.J. in quotes, Walker. Dynamite! From Good Times?
He's alive.
He's alive, yeah.
That poor bastard.
Yeah. Another person, and now another person that was playing at the same club that he was playing at, another worldwide famous stand-up comedian, just one of the funniest guys, Screech.
The guy that did the porno?
Yes.
What else is he known for?
Nothing.
Just Screech. The porno, right?
Well, Screech. Yeah, just the porn.
I knew it. That's all I know him for.
Yeah, have you ever stumbled, as a man, you know, you have needs. You watch some porn once in a while. Have you ever stumbled across the screech porn?
You know,
because
what?
I never have.
Dude, I honestly could tell you, out of all the porn I've seen, I have not seen the screech porn. But I did watch a Dr. Phil episode once that actually had the girl that started the screech porn with Screech.
Really?
Yeah, and she was just this big fuck up. You know, the family was like, "Oh, get her back. We miss her. She's prostituting. She's never been the same." And it turns out, like, the one night she decides, like, prostitute herself and let it film. You know, she's high on fucking meth, whatever else. Mm-hmm. It was fucking Screech. So the stars fucking aligned for this poor girl to make that decision that night and just, yeah.
So she's a prostitute.
Yeah, amongst other things.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
That poor
hey,
girl.
Hey, good for her, huh?
Yeah.
Good for her.
We all need.
Not everyone can roll the dice and get a 7 or 11, you know, right?
She hit that night.
Yeah.
Yowza.
Now, originally when I threw this idea at you of, Chuck, you should be on the podcast. It's been 50 episodes, you know? I threw out the idea because normally there's a topic to be discussed, right?
Yes.
Disgust? I just said that.
Yes. Disgust.
Disgust. I threw out the idea.
I love that podcast.
In a past episode, I talked with Mally, local rapper, about Jay-Z's Blueprint 1.
Okay.
And then I talked to Amber Ace Cleveland and Michael Allen of Brims and Tongues, the sponsors of the Thank You Rob podcast.
Uh-huh.
About my favorite Jay-Z album, The Black Album.
Okay.
So let me ask you, I have no research in front of me, so basically that we're just flying off the handle here. There's no script. Read that line right there. What does that say?
There is no script.
There is no script.
Right.
So what is your favorite Jay-Z album? Because I know Chuck here is a big Jay-Z fan.
I am. Now, do you want me to just say, this is my favorite album, and then then we're done? Or?
We'll read from the script.
Okay. My favorite Jay-Z album is Best of Both Worlds. When they, R. Kelly, little girls, pee. No.
Give me some of that.
Okay. no, honestly, and obviously the podcast is here, so we're going to go in depth with this thing. And it's a great time because Jay-Z's latest album, the Magna Carta Holy Grail, has just been nominated for, I think, 9 Grammys.
No shit.
Yeah, no joke. He's the most nominated artist this year.
Wow.
And I don't know what that means, if anything, anymore, because fucking Macklemore has been nominated for shit. And I don't know. I look at him, and I just don't like his face. So I don't like his music.
Really?
So, yeah. And
you know what? You should. I personally really like Macklemore.
That doesn't surprise me, Rob.
No, it doesn't. But
because
he makes important music.
He does?
That.
Why is his music important? Because he talks about things no one else talked about?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now, it's lack of interest, or just maybe no one wants to talk about it, Rob.
He has a song about homosexuality.
Yeah.
Right? And that has never been done in a mainstream.
But you know who that appealed to?
Everybody.
Homosexuals. Okay? And I mean, granted, you had the balls to do it. Good for you. But yeah. I'm saying it's not like
in
it was a hit.
In hip-hop?
Dude, yeah. It was definitely, you know what, it was groundbreaking, and he took some chances.
Absolutely.
It's not like it was one of those songs where everybody wanted to fucking hear it, everybody wanted to listen to it and bump it. I mean, it reached the people it was supposed to reach.
Right. But done. As for somebody like me who supports equality, Chuck.
Okay.
It touched me. I was like, man, this guy's got some balls to talk about this in hip-hop, which is a very, you know... We're way off topic already.
Whoa, yeah, we are. But no, this is important.
It is important.
And the thing is, my view, I can honestly sit here and tell you, my view is I have no fucking view. I honestly, you know that as far as politics, religion, anything, I don't fucking care.
Right.
I just don't care. People, how can you not care? How can you not have somewhere to stand, a pedestal to stand on for them? I'm like, dude, I've got other fucking shit to worry about.
Yeah, true.
You know, there's sneakers dropping I don't have money for. There's fucking new chicken wing flavors that I don't know about. Yeah,
out.
New iPhones, you know, and the prices are going up on Jordans. It's,
there's a lot of things that happen in the world. You know, tsunamis happening, people dying.
Exactly.
And people deprived of food and water. But that I should be concerned with, and much like what you were just saying, but you have a family, you know what I mean? And,
uh-huh.
And I, for some reason, I just can't involve myself with those. But stuff like this mainstream song about homosexuality in pop culture, a lot of people, the media and stuff, hold from the pop culture. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And to have something like that
which hopefully hits somebody somewhere and they're like, you know what? Yeah, it's okay for people to be gay. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's all I want. I just want people to be happy for who they are and not hurt people. You know what I mean?
Well, how about Now, I don't want to say in the other side of the coin because it's not really. It's like, well, what if Robbie just stood in my circle and said, I just want people to, who gives a shit? You know?
Right. No, I'm not trying to convince you either way.
No, there's nothing to convince. I'm just saying, dude, honestly, I think people get so tied up in these arguments about right and wrong and religion, homosexuality, and straight and whatnot. And it's like, what happened to just saying, it's good to be alive. It's a great day to fucking be breathing.
Right.
You know, and as a nation, let's just make sure that we're good.
Are you talking about a rhythm nation?
Yes.
Or one nation under
the
groove?
Under the groove, of course. Everyone knows that.
Okay.
But I'm saying, I think, you know, there's way too much emphasis and worry going on wrong topics, man, where we're making it an issue by making it an issue. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
I don't see it, dude. Now, you hear people have arguments, and it's like, do you think at one point you're going to convert somebody and they're going to be like, you're fucking right. You're right. This shouldn't be gays. It's like, no. Dude, there's no right, there's no wrong, and you're not going to win, dude. You're not going to win.
Yeah.
We need to move on and focus on things that matter. It's just, it's sad, and it does make me sad that we spend so much time and effort and money and, you know, lives are being lost on these topics that, dude, they're going to be here.
Yeah.
And they're not going anywhere right now. I think we're far too primitive. And I say that honestly. I think our minds, I think we're far too primitive, and we lack the intelligence and lack the acceptance to live in a kind world, man, and that's just the way
it is.
That's
true. That's human nature.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
I mean, even the most, like the Dalai Lama.
The Dalai Lama.
Does he hate on people? I don't know.
I've heard things.
I've heard things,
but it's neither here nor there.
Right. So let's get back to the topic.
Yes,
here.
We got to rewind.
So what is your favorite Jay-Z album?
My favorite Jay-Z album, hands down, is The Blueprint. Now, I hope that doesn't... Yeah, The Blueprint, just The Blueprint. I hope that doesn't sound like, oh, everyone's... Because my favorite album is The Blueprint. Many reasons that go along with that. Now, I can sit here and, you know, tell you why in the history of the album.
You could.
Producers and all that stuff. But I just want to say, there are very few albums that I've listened to and that I still, you know, keep in rotation that I grew up with that you can put on start to finish and fucking clean your house to.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you throw on The Blueprint and, I mean, you're set for however long that is, 60 minutes, whatever it is, and you're gonna clean your house. You're gonna sit there and ponder life for 60 minutes straight, uninterrupted, because you have, you know, those 12 or whatever, how many tracks that are just solid.
Yeah.
Solid, good music. So it is The Blueprint.
So front to end. You can,
yes.
Beginning to end, front to back.
Yes, even the hidden tracks. Even the hidden tracks.
A common question people ask when you say The Blueprint 1, or Blueprint, it's not actually called The Blueprint 1.
No, it's called Blueprint.
Yes. As far as the Jay-Z Nasty Nas.
Right.
who wins?
Hey, you know what? This is another one of those things where it's a debate where everyone has an opinion.
Thinks, and that's why I'm asking.
And everyone thinks they're right, which I think I'm right when I give you my answer.
Naturally.
I feel, personally, in the long run, in the big picture, in the big scheme of things,
nobody wins.
Jay-Z ultimately won that fight.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know what, at the time being, Jay-Z won the fight, but long term, Jay-Z won the fight as well. And I say that because, you know, 8-10 years down the line, Jay-Z...
Longevity.
Yeah, he actually signed...
Album sales.
Nas.
Oh, right.
When he was president of Def. Yeah, so when Jay-Z was like, yeah, little bitch, I'll sign you. And he signed him. So, I mean, ultimately, you could say, you know, you could swap all you want, but Jay-Z had the power and the pen, you know, and he had that contract. So he ultimately won. And, you know, if you want to look at numbers and if you want to look at hits and da-da-da, Jay-Z won. But when it came down to those two tracks, the Ether, the Takeover, my opinion, Jay-Z had it. Because I remember listening to The Blueprint, popping that in the CD player, and listening to the Takeover like, my God, you can't do this to somebody. You can't say these things. You know, and I remember hearing Ether, and Ether just wasn't as radio-friendly.
No, it was not. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, but there's people that'll swear up and down Nas took it.
Yeah. And they kind of take that because he had that rugged, not so much underground, but just that raw it wasn't not intended to be a radio
no,
song.
No,
obviously,
no.
If it was,
right,
you know, the editing would, you wouldn't understand what the fuck was
right.
being said there.
Right.
But
Jay-Z did have another response in the format of Super Ugly. And it was a track, it was a Dre-produced track that was, I think it went to the Wash soundtrack. And Jay-Z had another one called Super Ugly, and he did another response to that. And I think that's where people feel Jay-Z lost, because he came back with a second response, and it was horseshit.
Was it really?
It was not a good track.
Over a Dre beat?
Yeah. I mean, you can look it up. People that know, but you can look it up. And he said something about, you know, I left condoms in your baby girl's car seat, and, you know, we know this, and you know who, and you know what. And he was just saying things that, you know, taking digs below the belt, things that didn't need to be said, he was doing, which I think people took that in consideration of, Jay, you're now you're just scraping the bottom of the barrel here. You're doing things.
I didn't even know about that.
Yeah.
Because, to be honest, I'm a Dre fan. And The Wash, as a movie and a soundtrack, it was, I think the movie was just like, what is this? It's like they were trying to make like another Friday type
with car
comedy,
wash. Yeah.
You know, and it just wasn't, I didn't think it was funny. I thought it was kind of dumb.
No, yeah, which is sad.
Yeah.
Because it's hard enough whenever when like a rapper does try to make that transition to film.
Right.
It happens few and far between.
Yeah.
You can count on one hand like how many good rapper actors there are.
Right.
So when you get that spotlight, you get that chance, and then you make The Wash.
Right.
It's just not good.
Can I just name a few of my favorite rapper actors?
Please.
Master P. Okay. Insane Clown Posse, so there's two. Mystical. And Ice-T.
Okay. I'd like to name some of mine.
You know, Ice-T really is not, he's not a terrible actor, but he's
no.
far from the best.
But I think he's like one of the best, dude,
the
as
guy
far as I'm concerned.
Tons of roles.
Dude, especially like Leprechaun, Back to the Hood.
Oh my God.
But I do love that guy. It's like, he's a, you know, high-ranking police officer, and he's like,
the guy who sang Cop Killer?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, man, we gonna have to bust these cats. Turns out they got all these drugs.
That's a good one.
All right, Ice Man, whatever you just said, that shit sounds real.
And Ice Cube, of course.
Ice Cube, and that guy, you know, good for him, man. Have you seen the, I don't know if it was an Instagram photo or a Facebook photo or whatever, where Jay-Z had actually ranked his own albums?
Yes, I did see that.
From, you know, best to worst.
Yep.
And I have to talk about this because it threw me for a loop. So I look at the picture and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, one album that I defend all the time, and I talk about it and I defend it.
I am going to guess, I'm just take a stab in the dark, is Kingdom Come.
Yes!
Yeah.
Dude, and it made me, like, I seen that at the bottom, I'm like, ooh. because I have said to people in sober and drunken conversations that, you know, Kingdom Come was an album that might have gone over people's heads.
Okay.
That maybe it was too much for them, maybe they didn't understand, you know, maybe it was just something that maybe it was a little ahead of its time.
And you know what's funny about that is since I've met you, you've been a big Jay-Z fan, and I've known that. And because of that, I've listened to more Jay-Z.
Okay.
And so I've taken your word into consideration many times, and you said that to me about Kingdom Come, right? So I saw that post he'd made. And I saw Kingdom Come was at the very bottom. It was the last one, right?
Yeah, it was the very
and
last one.
Just the other day, I was looking through my iPod. I'm like, I'm listening to some Jay-Z. And I was going to listen to Kingdom Come, but I'm like, ooh, but Jay-Z says this is one of his least. So I didn't listen to it.
Damn it.
So what's your reason for that, though? What?
Dude, I personally think, you know, when I listen to Jay-Z, he is constantly growing. A lot of people say that he's kind of gone stagnant and blah, blah, blah. He's doing the same thing that works over and over. But when Kingdom Come had come out, I was like, you know, what was the album before that? I think it was it the Black Album?
I think it was.
Yeah, so he said, you know, I retire, whatever.
Right.
So with the Black Album, then Kingdom Come drops out. And I was just happy to have anything from Jay at the time.
Right.
So I'm listening to Kingdom Come, and he had just a lot of tracks on there that I felt were a little more upbeat, a little more, and I hate to use this, but futuristic and a little more poppy and whatnot. And it was nice to hear Jay just making some party songs, just making some music that you could, you know, seriously just throw on, and it was fun to listen to in the car, fun to listen to at a party. And
did
that's why.
Did he have any big radio songs or
off Kingdom Come? My God. Well, I know he had the one song, the Kingdom Come. You ready? So that, and then there was that one. And then what was the actual single off that album?
I don't know. That's why I asked.
I don't know. But then you know what? I felt too. There were songs on there that actually touched me, dude. Like Beach Chair. I think Beach Chair is probably one of Jay-Z's best songs he's ever recorded. Now, most people will say, well, you know, what the fuck is Beach Chair?
Right.
You know, but I honestly think it's one of his best tracks.
Well, now I'm going to honestly give that album a solid.
Dude, seriously, and granted, there are some tracks on there that are just horseshit. You know, but I'm saying Beach Chair, for one, is a really good, really good track. Man, mm-hmm. He talks about having, you know, children and what they'll inherit and, you know, what he's prepared for them in life and what they can expect in the future after his death. It's a really solid song. But I think Kingdom Come catches a bad rap, but that actually holds no water now because fucking Jay-Z says, fuck this album.
What's wrong with him?
But it was really like, he dealt me a heavy blow there. Seriously, man. I was like, no. Out of all the fucking albums, you had to put that one at the bottom.
But so would you say out of all of your favorite albums in the history of your collection?
Okay.
Would you say that Blueprint is the one that you're number one? Is it up there?
No, it's my top five, definitely.
Wow. Okay. I'm not gonna ask you top five. That we can go all night with.
But I would But I do want to say, just for future reference and for other people that may want to have this conversation, my favorite album of all time, any track, any time, no matter what, is Outkast, AT/Aliens.
Okay.
Hands down.
Aliens.
Yeah. Favorite album of all time, no question.
Elevators.
Me and you. Your mama and your cousins too. Rolling on the strip.
On Vogues.
Coming up, slamming Cadillac doors. Dude, I swear to you, that came out in 96. And I was a freshman.
Yeah.
And I had, you know, a tape. A Walkman, yep, and headphones, and I swear to God, you man, on the school bus going home to school, there wasn't a day that went by throughout that entire year that I wasn't listening to AT/Aliens.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Andre blew my mind, man.
Yeah.
He fucking blew my mind. No one was rapping like that. No one's rapping like that now.
No, you're right.
Andre, and that's why he is, and people a lot of Chuck, favorite rapper, Jay-Z. Wrong.
No.
Andre 3000.
There's people that try to rap like that, like Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
But they come across terrible.
Yeah. And just...
they are terrible.
Yeah. Oh, they're just terrible. They're terrible. But yeah, and Lil Wayne, you know, he's a melting pot of a lot of the great artists of today. And good for him that he can make that work for him, which he has. But I don't hear a lot of originality in what he does.
No. All right, I'm gonna change the subject because we're almost to the theater.
Okay.
We're going to see Anchorman 2.
Yes. Wait, Anchorman Part 2?
Part 2. Whoa. The sequel.
Aren't we like a week early?
The squeakquel. What are you expecting to see? What are we going to see in this movie? For sure.
I'll tell you what I'm hoping we're not going to see. I hope we're not going to see the same jokes recycled.
Right.
Just 2013-ized, if that makes sense.
So this is the first Adam McKay sequel, then?
Well, he's done a lot of Will Ferrell. I'm trying to think, dude. A lot of Will Ferrell work. Because Will Ferrell, has he done a sequel?
No.
No. Wow. Might be the first sequel for all of them.
Yeah.
Except
so
for
there's a lot. There's a lot riding on the line here.
Because, you know, they went through so much.
Yeah, there was originally going to be like a musical.
Yeah, music. Or,
and I thought that was a terrible idea.
It was
terrible.
A waste. Well, because, you know, again, I was discussing this earlier. When the first Anchorman came out, it came out, people were like, oh, this should be great, and it fucking flopped, and it found life, you know, on DVD and on, you know, on demand, all this shit, and then people started quoting it, da da da, da. So then it got that cult following. Well, you know, the distributors, and I think it's Paramount or whoever, they said, you know, we can't make a fucking sequel, that movie bombed, you know, so then they couldn't do it. And what was nice is all the guys, they've really come a long way, you know, they're all big movie stars now.
Yep.
And so they all they
except
were like,
for
Paul Whammy.
Poor guy.
But yeah, so everyone took a pay cut except for that guy. He probably got a raise this time around. But so everyone took pay cuts and they just wanted to get the movie made. You know, it's understandable. It's good to see, you know, people like that saying, you know what, this needs to get made just because, you know, it's our, I don't even know what you call it, our pinch hit, essentially, or, you know, our second chance.
Yeah.
Because seriously, dude, if Anchorman came out today, it would be fucking huge.
Right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. We're not gonna tell you everything that happens in the movie.
No.
But we'll make stuff up to make you think that we saw this happen. And
yes, I'm gonna do that. Like, and you're gonna be, he fucking told us everything, and you're gonna be waiting for it, and it's never gonna
this
happen.
This is when it happens. See. All right, we're gonna take a break and then watch the movie.
Yeah.
This will be like 30 seconds and we'll be back.
That's awesome.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm here in Minneapolis today with the one and only Prince. The purple one. How you doing?
I'm living as I bring the tongues.
Can you speak a little louder? All I heard was something about brims and tongues.
Brims and tongues. Clothing. So fast we make it match. What sounds like when right. Doves, when doves match.
Yep. And they have purple shirts too. Did you know that?
I know that. Pepper shirt, brims and tongues.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what?
I really like brims and tongues.
Hey, welcome back.
Welcome back
to the podcast.
Welcome back, welcome back.
You're welcome, thank you.
The names have all changed since I've been around, but the game ain't the same since I've been left out.
Now that comes to a question. That rhymes. Really? Look at now, is that a... Police.
Well, at least, nope.
You're like a child.
Nailed right now.
So
let's recap Anchorman 2 without giving away anything.
Well, that's okay, because if you've seen Anchorman 1, you've seen them all.
You know what, though? In today's world, movies like Hangover 2 and 3 can strive.
Yeah.
Thrive, even if you want to use correct terminology.
Uh-huh.
I would sum it up by saying, first and foremost, I am a big, big fan of Anchorman, the first one.
Absolutely. I am as well.
But Anchorman 2, summed up in a sentence, is it went from awesome to okay.
That actually describes it perfectly.
I will say a little too much Brick Tamlin in this one.
A lot of Brick Tamlin. I was telling Rob that Brick was funny because he worked in small doses, but come Anchorman 2, it should have been called Anchorman 2, Brick is here.
A lot.
A lot.
And he won't leave.
And he screams.
A lot.
And makes some jokes.
Anyway.
You know what, though? If you're a fan of Anchorman, go see it. Don't be a cock nugget. Go check it out. You'll laugh, you know, but...
Yeah. I hate when people are cock nuggets.
I hate cock nuggets, dude.
Yeah, they're the worst.
But, you know, it really, to me, the more I process it now and think about it, Anchorman 2 seemed like stuff that was picked up off the editing room floor of Anchorman 1.
Wow.
And they were like, do you want to do something with it? And they're like, no, dude, we can't. They're like, come
now,
on.
Are you familiar with the...
Yes, Rob. Good morning.
Okay. All right.
Well, don't need to go there.
All right. Well, let's move on here, because this is the portion of the show where I give a shout-out to Amber Ace Cleveland.
Hey.
Amber, you remember Chuck?
Amber, you remember me, girl, yeah.
I've been meeting with the Brims and Tongues people, because I'm working with them on a project to be announced later.
Ooh, that's the shit, but you know what I say is fucked up?
What?
Why don't I have any Brims and Tongues, like a t-shirt or a sticker or a hat?
Well, they have a fucking website and a fucking store you can go to buy a fucking shirt hat.
Oh, wait, no, I'm supposed to get, like, free merch.
Oh, here we go. Amber, are you hearing this? Yeah, he's this guy right now.
A shirt? You know, I'll wear it proudly to bed. Ha! Just kidding.
Anyway. Amber Ace Cleveland has another business venture with a friend of hers named Breezy. And it's called Remixin' Vixens, where they make cupcakes and baked goods. Amber's specialty is the alcohol-induced cupcakes.
Is there cupcakes with THC in them?
No.
But they have cupcakes with alcohol in them.
Yes, that's correct. And they are delicious. I don't know if you can get drunk off of them, but I'd like to find out.
Well, you know what I say? Marijuana illegal, but cigarettes cool. I might look kind of funny, but I ain't no fool.
And what is this you're quoting?
That was Andre 3000 from Outkast, Equimini.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's it makes sense somewhere in there. I don't know. But we're going to move on. So
let's move on.
Remixing my vixen?
No, we're past that now.
Oh, okay.
We're here right now to talk about Chuck. Chuck Chase.
Oh, serious talk. Okay.
Yeah, What do you do? For those unfamiliar, Chuck and I, we know each other because of Some People's Kids. We started off together with this Some People's Kids venture. It was kind of a comedy, sketch comedy
thing.
It
was.
Or
okay. Is.
It is. It is. You're right.
Okay.
We did some videos, some comedic videos.
Uh-huh.
And then we translated that over to a podcast, which uh-huh. we went six deep. 6 feet deep.
A lot of positive things have happened that have, you know, occupied my time away from Some People's Kids.
The listeners know.
Yeah, and away from projects that you and I do, but that doesn't take away from the fact that yeah. you and I, fortunately, have the ability to say, you know, press pause on projects and say, you know, we'll pick them up, you know, here, there, whenever.
Right.
You know, not everybody can do that. Fortunately, you and I know life gets a little crazy, but, you know, we get to the projects when we get to them. And you know, that's what we're doing. So hopefully, you know, this is just kind of my dipping my toes back in the water here with this podcast and seeing what happens.
So what does the future hold for Chuck Chase? I understand that there is a couple websites, lostmystub.com.
Yes,
tell,
yes.
Tell me about Lost My Stub.
Lostmystub.com is way more than like a pet project. It's more, it really is a passion. It's something I wish I could dedicate way more time to. Unfortunately, I can't find that time I'd like to dedicate to it. It's essentially it's a movie site, a movie review site / you know, movie news site, where a lot of the writing I do and a lot of the news I cover is, you know, we come from an angle like a Maxim magazine or just more of a humorous tone, and we really don't care about, you know, really breaking a film down or breaking a news down and giving you like 100% of the news. We kind of fuck around a little bit, get lost in the paragraph, and, you know, and maybe even forget about what we had initially wrote about to begin with. But, you know, we shoot for, you know, humor there. And you can stop by there, and you never know what you're going to read, what you're going to see, because when I'm writing for it, I just don't care. So, you know, it's definitely based around film, but
right.
you don't know what the article's going to pertain to.
Articles such as top 5 sequels that should have never been made.
Absolutely. That is an awesome article.
Do you think Anchorman 2 should have been on that list, or you could update, revise that list?
No, you know, Anchorman 2 seems like something that was pretty inevitable, something that was going to happen regardless. And, you know, when demand is there for such titles like that, I mean, it's going to happen. It's like sex with Kobe Bryant.
Right?
It's you can
gonna
say
happen,
no
whether you like it or not.
All you want, but it's going to happen.
Well, I don't remember exactly what movies were on that list, but was Beastmaster 2 on the list?
Sadly, it just missed. It just missed, and, you know, it's one of those titles, again.
I want to remind the listeners that if you've listened to the Some People's Kids podcast, which is pretty easy to do because there's only 6 of them.
And they're fucking awesome, all 6.
I believe at one point in there I've discussed my disgust for movie sequels where they involve time travel.
You have said, yes.
Yeah, because
yes.
eventually...
Cop out.
Yeah, it's a cop out. It's easy to do because you can take a sequel anywhere when you involve time travel. And Beastmaster 2...
Men in Black 3.
Beastmaster 2 is a good example. I haven't seen Men in Black 3.
That's okay. Just go back in time and watch it.
Hey-o! So, you got lostmystub.com.
Yep, absolutely.
And then there's another site called... Which is kind of a... return to Thank You, Rob.
Yes.
And it's called ShutUpChuck.com.
Yes. And that, obviously, Rob, you will have some involvement in that too. That's kind of my offshoot of, you know, there's Thank You, Rob, and then, you know, there's Shut Up Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
And when the listeners, you know, they listen to our podcast or meet me in person, they can understand why I would have a website called ShutUpChuck.com.
Right.
And essentially what I want to do on there is just do 100% pure nonsense. A lot of the ideas we're throwing out now are interviewing porn stars, interviewing strippers,
right.
interviewing scantily dressed women that you wouldn't be able to see, but you can just imagine on
just
the
by their voice, by the sound of their voice.
And yeah, and a lot of the material is going to revolve around me being drunk with my buddies and doing stupid shit on ShutUpChuck.com. So just, you know, just good humor.
Right. I like that.
Yeah. So that's that.
So ultimately, people want to know, and by people I mean, I think I can pinpoint at least 2 listeners that I know for sure would like to see more Some People's Kids.
Okay.
Is there going to be more?
As far as the actual
podcasts.
Absolutely. There, I 100% guarantee there will be more Some People's Kids in 2014.
You know what? I disagree.
Oh. That definitely changes things.
I'm just kidding.
No, but yeah, there'll be bigger and better things coming for SBK. You know, when schedules get, you know, sketch everything out, and a lot of good things are coming, and we appreciate you being patient. I appreciate Rob, you know, understanding that, you know, the Chuckster gets busy.
The Chuckster.
But SBK is something, like I said, I really, really enjoy that, and it's something that needs to be out there because it's really unique.
I would just like to announce that, yes, we are still in a car traveling, and we just drove by the Pearson's factory.
Give me the old commercial.
Yeah. Don't be a butthole. Eat a Pearson salted nut roll.
And we are officially endorsed by Pearson salted nut roll.
Well, see, now, this is the thing, Chuck. You might be a little behind on this.
Uh-oh.
If you listen to episode 50, or, you know, any of the latest episodes of the podcast,
okay,
you would know that I'm no longer seeking the Pearson's sponsorship, because I have the Brims and Tongues sponsorship.
Oh.
And Brims and Tongues, to me, are a little more personable. You know, they're good people. I know them.
And way less salty.
Yes, they are. And I just, on a smaller level, Brims and Tongues is a way to go. And granted, you can't buy two Brims and Tongues t-shirts for $1 at Fleet Farm, but, you know.
Ooh, and you can't eat the shirts, aren't that edible either.
Well,
not since the new ones. Right. So, I think, though, I'm sorry. You know what? Maybe we should involve Brims and Tongues on the project that we've been talking about for a while. Maybe they can help us and move us along. Maybe they can even get something out of it. Everybody wins. I think now would be a good time to discuss the Some People's Kids comedy album.
The comedy album? The hip-hop album?
The hip-hop comedy album where we rap in humorous fashions.
Yes.
For about 12 tracks deep.
It's going to make you dance.
Make you jive.
Make you boogie.
Make you woogie.
Bounce that ass.
Yep.
Twerk. You're going to be twerking all over
like
the place.
Like Miley Cyrus.
Your mom's going to come in your room after you were done listening to it and be like, what happened in here?
And you're going to be all like, I'm just twerking. But, and again, you know, and what we want to do, we don't want to set an amount, a limit on what tracks we have, but, you know, essentially what we want to do is grab a local artist, you know, of some notable fame, and, you know, give them a third verse.
Minnesota Snipe.
Yeah. Oh, I wish. I would do a collaboration album with Minnesota Snipe. But, and then, you know, we make a whole album of just some funny, funny shit. And what we really want to do is take a lot of the maybe more conscious rappers or serious rappers out of their element and just kind of, you know, break that stigma of them being so serious and just, you know, say, hey, let's rap about buttholes and titties for 16 bars. That's what we want to do.
And this is just a, you know, obviously we should probably pursue maybe the podcast a little more.
Yep.
First. And then just see where this goes.
There's Rob.
But this is just an idea we've been throwing around.
Right.
What do you got? What else you got cooking there, Chuck?
Well, I tell you what I really wanted to do when you asked me to be on the podcast. I said, you know what? Let's take Rob's recipe. Let's do what he wants us to do. But let's pepper in a little Chuck Chase in there.
Let's do that.
And what I really want to do is talk about two films that are very near and dear to my heart. Now, you may not be too familiar with the titles. I hope you are. But I really feel the need to talk about them.
Okay.
Because I did not record any podcast over Halloween. And you know how I feel about horror films.
I do.
And I need to talk about these films because if I don't talk about them, probably nobody will. Because they don't get the respect they deserve.
And what do you got?
Pet Sematary 1 and 2.
Okay.
Are you familiar with either title?
I am familiar with Pet Sematary 1. I have seen 2. It's been a while.
What do you remember about part? I want you to tell me, like,
part
I've never
two?
Seen any movie ever in my life. You describe part two to me right now. Go.
Part two, I'd really have to think about it to figure out what the hell happened in part two. In the second one, Gage comes back. The cat that's killed and comes back in the second one, Smokey, he comes back. And they have to find a litter box because Smokey will not poop or pee outside, and obviously he lives in a cemetery.
Uh-huh.
Made for animals. So Gage has to find a litter box, but, you know, he's dead and people don't want to let him in their house and or the pet store.
Yeah.
And I believe I remember this happening.
He fucking stinks.
He goes to, like, PetSmart and...
No, it's called Pets Dumb in the movie. They can't use...
Oh, they can't use the name. They couldn't get the licensing board.
Right.
So they go. He goes to Pet Dumb, and he gets a litter box and kitty litter, and then Smokey can go to the bathroom. And I think that's how the movie ends. Is that the right way?
You know what? That was actually part three.
Oh.
Yeah, you fucked that right up. But I'll give you credit.
Part two involves time travel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And fucking Smokey from Friday. That's, yeah, the Smokey's messed up.
So he dies in the second one, comes back as a cat in the third one.
Yeah. Fucking he has to find the flux capacitor.
But we know that's not true. That could never work because, as you know, in the movie Friday, Smokey takes a shit outside.
Oh, that's right. Right. That's Smokey. Anyway, but so, Pet Sematary 1 and 2. Pet Sematary 1 is one of those films that I kind of grew up with and watched when I should have been watching, and it stuck with me, okay? Mm-hmm. So, Pet Sematary 1, I honestly love this film. And it gets quoted way more often than it should. And it's funny because, like,
something like, dead is better.
Exactly.
Right?
But you see, now you say that at work, and you're like, they're like, oh man, I just wish this fucking paperwork could go away. And you're like, sometimes dead is better. And they're like, well, what? I just want my paperwork. It's just a lot of paperwork. You know? So I quote it way more often than I should. But the reason I bring it up now is because, you know, Halloween came and went, whatever, and I'm watching it. And then I said, you know, I'm watching Pet Sematary 1 on Blu-ray. Fucking awesome transfer. Just awesome transfer.
Okay.
So I'm watching Pet Sematary 2, which has not made it to the Blu-ray yet.
Okay.
So I'm watching on DVD, like poor people do. And I'm like, man, I sure wish, you know, there would be some kind of continuation, some continuity to the Pet Sematary series. Well, fucking days later, I jump online and obviously Lost My Stub didn't break this story because I was probably not doing it. But there's a Pet Sematary film, a remake in the works.
Oh, really?
Yes. But what the reason why I'm so excited about this is because they're actually staying relatively close or closer to the source material. Now, okay, if you've ever read the Pet Sematary book, you'll notice some discrepancies. You'll notice there's quite a few things left out of the actual film in comparison to the book. And what I feel that was left out of the film would have just made, you know, great, great movie magic. Seriously.
Right.
And there was a lot of stories and just kind of some undertones and some backstories and kind of some, like, subtle things that I think they were either afraid or they didn't know how to interpret to film. And, you know, not to say that the 1989 version isn't great, because it is, but I'm just excited now that they're going to, you know, put basically the whole book into the new film.
Okay.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
So was part two from the book as well?
No, you know what? Actually, part two was completely standalone. Stephen King had nothing to do with it. Essentially, nobody had anything to do with it except for the director, Mary Lambert. She directed part two. And when you watch it, if you watch the two back-to-back, you'll notice, you know, they look like completely different pictures and almost like completely different directors. You know, it's like she took, at that time, I think it was mid-90s, she took like almost notes from MTV and almost made a video movie, if that makes sense. Yeah, it's completely different. But, you know,
as soon as it makes its way to Blu-ray, maybe I'll check it out. Maybe.
Yes.
Maybe.
But seriously, it's one of those titles, those hidden gems that, you know, you find it, you watch it, you're like, oh, yeah, it's kind of funny, stupid, whatever. But a lot of people sleep on that title. And
right.
I think, you know, they could enjoy it if they would give it some time.
So you felt that you would use this opportunity.
Okay.
I was looking for a better word. You felt like you would use this opportunity on the Thank You, Rob podcast to share your love for the Pet Sematary movies.
Correct.
Well, I'm glad that you can take that opportunity and do that, Chuck.
Thank you. You make me feel like I did something bad.
No, not at all. Not at all. I bet Stephen King really appreciates it.
Well, we do know he listens to every Thank You, Rob podcast,
right,
so I'm sure he will be grateful.
He's actually one of the bigger fans of the Some People's Kids.
Absolutely.
Too.
He even wrote us into his latest book, It Part 2.
I don't know if I'm just really tired or that was really funny.
Dude, I'll tell you what. I'm fucking tired. And I hope this sounds way better than it does now tomorrow.
Well, let's wrap this up here, huh?
Okay.
LostMyStub.com.
LostMyStub.com.
ShutUpChuck.com.
ThankYouRob.com.
Right. I gotta remind the listeners, you go to ThankYouRob.com, and what you're going to see there, again, it's a hub. You can listen to past episodes of this podcast.
You're going to say Pet Sematary.
You're going to listen to Pet Sematary podcast on the pub channel. And you can go to the Some People's Kids option, listen to the 6 episodes we talked about.
Fuck off.
The very last episode that we did, episode number 6, was probably one of my favorites, where we talked about House Party, the House
Agreed.
Party movies.
Agreed.
And then you can also go to my iDefine Design graphic design page, and what else is there? The Brims and Tongues page. There's a link right to Brims and Tongues. You want to support local, independent entrepreneurship. It's Brims and Tongues, you know?
Hey, and just a note to Brims and Tongues.
Chuck wants a free t-shirt.
Yeah, and I'm just throwing this so out there. If you have a extra large royal blue shirt with some sort of design on the chest area, I would gladly wear it.
What I would like to see, and I don't necessarily want to see Chuck in this, but I do want to see like a, you know, like a tall tee, like those old school nightgowns.
Yeah.
Like where, a la 1990.
Oh, with
where
like your a mom muscle body?
No. Oh. No. I just want to see Chuck wearing, I don't want to see Chuck wearing, but I want Chuck to be given a nightgown Brims and Tongues shirt, and that's what he's going to wear to bed.
I'll do it. You know I'll do it.
And that's it.
And,
Any last words, Chuck?
Yeah, I'd like for them to design a line of Some People's Kids clothing.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd like that.
That's a tall order.
Yep, and
that's a tall drink of water.
But these things, it's not going to be just like regular clothes. No, if you've ever seen the Mad Max pictures,
you ever seen the California Love?
Yeah, exactly. In the Fifth Element. That's what I want our shirts modeled after.
We're going to have in the Fifth Element movie, the bad guy, he's got this dome thing on his head.
Yes.
Brims and Tongues is going to endorse Some People's Kids clothing line, and that's part of it. You can buy that little clear shield thing for your head.
Yes, and coming in the fall of 2014, the Some People's Kids hat from Back to the Future Part 2.
Nice. And hoverboards.
But you can't go in water unless you have power.
No.
But
don't
I
be an idiot, Chuck.
unless you have power.
No, you know what he sounded like there was a character from the Shrek movies.
Which one?
Oh, one of the little three little pigs.
Oh, yeah. He tried to catch us and kill us. We make a bag hunt.
Which, by the way, that voice is like a cross between Hans and Franz from SNL.
Oh, girly man.
Yeah.
You don't do that unless you have the steroid, girl. All
right, Chuck, last words.
Rob, sincerely, thank you. I appreciate it, man. It felt good getting back on a podcast and just sharing some random thoughts, man. And to everybody out there working with the Thank You Rob podcast, I appreciate it. Thank you for doing it, man. We're really doing something great for the Twin Cities. And this is Chuck Chase signing off, and I just want to say thank you very little.
And this is Rob saying Chewbacca balls.
Yes, sir, 2 for the show. A couple of years ago, on Headland and DeLow. What's the starter? Something good. Where me and my nigga rode the martyr through the hood, just trying to find that hook up. Now every day we looked up at the ceiling, watching ceiling fans go round, trying to catch that feeling off instrumental. Had my pencil and plus my paper. We caught the 86 lot on your headed to Decatur, writing rhymes, trying to find our spot off in that light. Light off in that spot, knowing that we can rock, doing the hole in the wall club. This shit here must stop. Like freeze, we making the crowd move, but we not making no G's, and that's
a 1-2. Dope niggas in the Cadillac, they call us. Went from Plagueis ball to boss, putting the stop up on the map. It's like Little Rock to banging. Niggas say, motherfuck that plaguing. They paying, we staying, legging vocals. Locales done made it with them big boys up in this industry. Outcast, yeah, them niggas, they making big noise. Over a million sold to this day. Niggas, they take it like they 96. Gonna be that year that all y'all Plagueis haters can bite me around this bitch.
Yo, mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on the boats, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you, yo mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on the boats, coming up slamming Cadillac doors.
back in the day when I was younger. Hunger, looking to fill me belly with that rallies. Bullshit, pull shit off like it was supposed to be pulled. Full of the tick, I was stone like them white boys. Smoking them white girls before them blunts got crunk. Chunky asses, passes getting thrown like Hail Marys, and they looking like Halle Berry. So, so fine, intertwined. But we ain't sipping wine, we just chilling. I'm the rabbit villain, and I'm so high, smoking freely. Me, Lil B, Reek Moan and Suge, and my little brother James. Things changed in the hood where I live at. Them rats know, mama, I want to sing, but mama, I want to trick. And mama, I'm sucking dicks now. We moving on up in the world like elevators. Me and the crew, we pimps like 82. Me and you like Tone.
Yeah, yeah. Like this, East Point, and we gone.
Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors.
Got stopped at the mall the other day. Heard a call from the other way that I just came from. Some nigga was saying something, talking about smoke some.
You remember me from school?
No, not really, but it kept smiling like a clown. Facial expression looking silly, and it kept asking me, what kind of car you drive? I know you paid, I know y'all got buku with holes from all them song that y'all done made. And I replied that I've been going through the same thing that he has. True, I got more fans than the average man, but not enough loot to last me to the end of the week. I live by the beat like you live, check to check. If you don't move your feet, then I don't eat, so we like neck to neck. Yes, we done come a long way, like them slim ass cigarettes from Virginia. This ain't gon' stop, so we just gon' continue.
Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors. Me and you, your mama and your cousin too. Rolling down the strip on poles, coming up slamming Cadillac doors.